Hashem, Hashem is so kind. We're dedicating the shiur to the success of Asher Yoshua ben Yaakov Lev, and also that you can have blessing in everything and shalom bayit, Bezrat Hashem. And also that you're going to be happy, and also that you're going to do tshuva shlema.
Amen.
And also that I'm going to do tshuva shlema.
Amen.
Thank you. You too.
And all of us.
You three. Bezrat Hashem, I read an amazing story about tshuva that it let me think, Baruch Hashem. I read about the Noam Elimelech, that once there was a person that came to him, and it's a known stories, a lot of stories like those. The Noam Elimelech and Rabbi Zusha, his brother, they were meeting people and they were giving them a way of tshuva. They would explain to them exactly what they need to do, how much Tehillim they need to read, how many pages of Gemara, how many fasts, how many Bodhidriyot. They were teaching them. And they would also give them a heart to do tshuva. This is the special thing, because a man can want to do tshuva. If he doesn't have a heart, he cannot do tshuva. Also the heart, you should receive it from the righteous man, from the tzaddik. He's got the heart. He can give you a heart. If he doesn't give you a heart, this is why Breslev Rabbeinu told us, it's the letters of the words, lev basar, flesh, heart. Heart, it's alive. So you can receive it from the righteous man. So that person came to the Noam Elimelech. And the Noam Elimelech told him, you need to confess in front of me, to make David do it. So he came and he said, Chatanu. And this is it. And he fainted on the floor. So the Noam Elimelech, the story starts with that he heard that there is a person that he's closing himself in a room for a lot of years, and he's learning, and he was fasting, and that person wasn't accomplished the purpose that he'd been created for. Because the purpose is to be a Sefer Torah that's alive, not a Sefer Torah that's in the ark. You need to be a Sefer Torah that's alive, that meets people, that teach people, that help people. You need to be a human being. You cannot be in the library standing. It's not good. It's not it. So that person came finally to the Noam Elimelech, and the Noam Elimelech told him that Bezrat Hashem, first of all, he told his students, take him, let him eat, let him heal himself few weeks until he's going to come back to himself, see the light of the sun, Bezrat Hashem, and then bring him. And then after a while he came back, he was strong and healthy, and he said, the Noam Elimelech told him, you need to confess, you need to do the vidui. So he just said, Chatanu, and hit himself once on his chest and fainted. The Noam Elimelech said, take him now, he's going to have to relax for another few weeks after that chatanu, and then bring him back. And he came back, and then he told him, now you can say Avinu. And he said Avinu and fell again on the floor another few weeks. When the righteous man, he gives the person really the power to do tshuva, the lackings, what that you reveal on yourself, it's like we said yesterday, the level of your body, it's very low, it's very contaminated. If really the man is going to have the eyes to see it, he will not understand in that. This is why we need to be happy. That we're doing Baruch Hashem slowly, slowly. We're scratching layers every day, drag a little bit, you know. Another peel, and another peel, and another peel. And slowly, slowly, Baruch Hashem. Rabbeinu said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not going to do that to me, to take one of my people before of his time. On that we're counting. We're going to come to the complete tshuva, finally. It's in the hands of Rabbeinu. Rabbeinu said, I'm doing tshuva for you, don't worry. And we have to go with that. If the Rebbe wouldn't say that, alright, we have a lot to be worried. Like Rabbi Yochanan that we talked about so many times. That he, on his deathbed, even though that he was serving Hashem Yitzbarach all of his life in Yisirut Nefesh, he was worried, what's going to be with me? Maybe I'm going to hell, maybe I'm going to heaven, I don't know. He didn't have that promise. We have that promise. Rabbeinu said, if you're going to do 1 hour, you've got to do it every day. Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Bender explained the words of Rabbeinu on the 1 hour, you've got to do it. That Rabbeinu meant that every person that's going to do tshuva every day, he will not going to see the face of hell. The promise from Rabbeinu, you have that in your pocket. What you need to do for that? 1 hour, you've got to do it every day. It's hard. I'm not saying that it's not hard. But can you imagine to yourself to spend few weeks in hell or few months in hell? It's also hard. Hot and hard. It's not so nice. The lowest fire in hell is 60 times hotter than the hottest fire in this world. So, 1 minute. Alright, let's compromise, Omrim. Let's compromise. 1 minute. Alright. One of the students of Ari HaKadosh, I told you that he had a punishment of 30 seconds of disgrace in the world to come. And he said that if not, that the Shekhinah HaKadoshah covered on him with her wings to hide him from the disgrace, 30 seconds of disgrace. If she wouldn't cover on him to save him from that shame, he would ask to stop that punishment and to come back in a different lifetime to another Gilgul, to suffer whatever, the disgrace, punishment of disgrace. Sounds before of fire, before of, you know, all of those horrifying options that there are over there. Okay, so Baruch Hashem, if we can accept our tikkun here in this world, we are very lucky. So we were Be'ezrat Hashem in Stil Torah Lamed Dalet in part Zayin. Chet, I'm sorry. And on the left side. So we said, first of all, a man should receive from the righteous man, and after it, going to receive one from each other, Yekablu Den Min Den, he and his friends. And everyone going to receive from himself, means indeed Bodedut, and in his own Limud Torah. Validei shlosha bechinot elu, and by those three aspects, the righteous man, his friends, and himself in the Bodedut, nitbatel hacharafot haynu orlat lev, canceling all of the disgrace, all of the covering that covers the heart, haynu ahavot ra'ot, means all lusts and desires, bad kind of love. Vezehu, and this is what it's written, al kol peshaim techase ahava, on all crimes, love gonna cover. It's written that בדרך שבה אדם מודד, מודדין לו. In the path that a man is measuring, this is the way that they're measuring to him. Means that if you're holding that Hashem Yitbarach is so strict, and He is punishing, and He is angry and everything, this is how Hashem have to judge you. The king, he is מלך אסור ברהתים. He is handcuffed to your way of thoughts, way of thinking. In the way that you're thinking, this is how that He have to lead you. This is why the rabbis and the righteous people of the generation always trying to teach Am Israel to believe that Hashem is mercy, that Hashem is good, that Hashem is kind. Because if they're going to understand that finally, this is how Hashem is going to treat us. But if a man judging everyone in judgments and in anger and also judging himself like that and criticizing every move, every action, every situation, he is punishing and closing, and that man have to die, and that man have to be punished, and this is, I don't want even to say. This is how they're treating him also. On every mistake, exactly like that you are. From who that you are, you can see Hashem. So this is why we have to teach ourselves. If you believe in love, if you believe in the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the love going to cover on all of your crimes. But if you believe in punishment, so punishment is going to purify. It all depends in what that we are doing, how we are teaching ourselves to believe in Hashem Yitbarach. Ki sham shora ahava hakdosha, because over there, the holy love is attending. Yes? You can say that? Atoning? What you said? Atoned? You need to write it for me, Yosef, please. On the mic. We finished it. Now we're in the next line. וזהו כשנולד יוסף הצדיק. And this is what that happened when Yosef הצדיק been born. אמרה רחל. רחל said, his mother said, אסף אלוקים את חרפתי. Hashem took my disgrace. כי כשנתגלה הנקודה ששם אהבה הקדושה. Because when that point been revealed, that point that over there the love is atoned. Azay nitbatel hacharafot. So then the disgrace been cancelled. Haynu orlat lev, the covering of the heart. Haynu ahavot raot, all lusts and desires, bad kind of love. וזה שכתוב אצל יוסף, and this is what it's written on Yosef, כי פי המדבר עליכם, my mouth that is talking to you, ופרש רשי, and רשי explained, כפי כן ליבי, my heart is like my mouth, means that the heart of Yosef HaTzadik and his mouth are not two separated things. He doesn't have echad balev ve'echad bapeh, one in his heart and different thing in his mouth. He's talking something else. Just he's talking straight from his heart. Hainu, and the explanation by the wisdom of Rabbeinu is to say, Hainu sheheir hanekuda shelo bavav shelo, that his point, his dot that we talked about few years ago, was illuminating into his vav, means that the point, this is the mouth, was illuminating into the heart, that the heart is vav. We said the mouth, pi yedaber chokhmot, the mouth, like that is round, this is that dot, this is the spring of wisdom, the mouth is going to speak wisdoms. It was illuminating to the heart, that the heart is a tablet, like the holy tablets, that they were vav on vav, like we learned. There were six tfachim on six tfachim. So, they are the aspect of vav. Means that the tshuva, like we're saying, v'yadat ayom v'ashevota el levavecha. You learn something today, it's not enough. It doesn't call to learn. Like we said a few weeks ago, לשמוע, ללמוד וללמד, to hear and then ללמוד and then to learn. Why? Why you need to hear and also to learn? To hear, it's to learn. To hear, if you heard it, so you got it, so you learned it. No, it's written also after it that you need to learn it. What it means? It's ויידעת היום והשבות אל לבביך. You need to bring it into your heart. Alright, you learn it, but you need to bring it into your heart. How are you bringing it into your heart? By the mouth. By mitzvah tshuva, by mitzvah tfilah, by tshuva and prayer. By that, you're convincing your heart, you're forcing your heart to the right way. By talking on that, and talking on that, and talking on that, convincing yourself. Like we heard on Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, the man, one of the most important students of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that he came to Rabbeinu, he was already a mekubal, that he was a bal mofet, he was huge, he was doing miracles, he was amazing, he was a huge talmid chacham when he met Rabbeinu first time. And he came to Rabbeinu and he canceled himself totally to Rabbeinu in an amazing way. He had one time a dream, I think I told you that once. But if your memory is horrible like mine, so without a shame, I'm going to tell you that again. So, one time he had a dream. After that he met Rabbeinu, he had a dream. Rabbi Shmuel Isaac had a dream. And in that dream he saw a man with swords that holds a lot of swords, and he had a lot of swords with him. And that person looked at him and suddenly he couldn't see him anymore. And he couldn't see him because suddenly there were a lot of clouds separating between them. And he woke up and he was sure that that person that he saw was very important, and he couldn't. He asked him, maybe he can use one of his swords, and that person told him it's going to be too hard for you. In the dream, he told him it's going to be too hard for you, you cannot use the swords. So, and suddenly the clouds came and separated between them, and he woke up and he was very frustrated, very hurt from that dream. And he didn't know who going to save him, what he going to do. And then he remembered Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he said, only that righteous man that he met him maybe once or twice before. He said, only he can help me, only he can answer to me. And he was very poor, and it was the middle of the night, in the winter time, and he lived in a different city, a lot of kilometers from there. And he didn't have money to take a wagon or something, and he started to run in the middle of the night over to the house of Rabbeinu. And it took him over one day, and then to the next night, and in the middle of the night, next night, he came to the house of Rabbeinu, all full with tears and sorrow, came to the house of Rabbeinu in the middle of the night, knocking on the door. And Rabbeinu heard him from inside, but he's not opening. And he's knocking again and again, and he's crying, and Rabbeinu is not opening. 1 hour, 2 hours, finally Rabbeinu is opening the door, looking at him. Rabbi Shmuel Isaac is telling him, please, Arav, Rabbeinu, can I enter? So Rabbeinu looked at him and told him, but they told you that it's going to be very hard. Those are the same words that he told him, that person told him in a dream. They told that it's going to be too hard. And locked the door. in his face. And Rabbi Shmuel Eisler started to cry and cry and cry. After 1 hour, Rabbeinu opened the door and told him, "Kiyamti becha kol ha'sharim ninalu chutz mi'sharei dim'a. Sharei dim'a lo ninalu." I was kiyamti becha. Fulfilled in you what it's written, that all of the gates are closed except of gates of tears. By the Mary that you were crying, now I can open the door. And he went inside the house, and then Rabbeinu is looking at him and told him, "What happened to you, Shmuel Isaac? Clouds are surrounding you. You have so many clouds." And then Shmuel Isaac, he realized that Rabbeinu knows everything about him. Torah Bet, I think, the second Torah in Likutei Moharan, this is the Torah that Rabbeinu said in the next day to other people, and Rabbi Shmuel Isaac was there to hear that Torah. And in that Torah, Torah Bet, Rabbeinu started that Torah to say, "Ki ikar klei zeino shel Mashiach wa tefila." The weapon, the main weapon of Mashiach, is prayer. Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, he saw Mashiach, and he saw the weapon of Mashiach. Those were the swords that Mashiach was holding. And he asked for him to have one of the swords, means to pray, to be also a Baal Tefillah. Mashiach told him it's going to be too hard. Why we brought the story on Rabbi Shmuel Isaac? Because one time Rabbi Shmuel Isaac came to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, that holy Rabbi Shmuel Isaac that saw Mashiach, and ran 1.5 days, one day, to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and knocked. He had the merit to be one of the students of Rabbeinu. And that Rabbi Shmuel Isaac came to Rabbeinu to say that he doesn't know what to do with himself. Lust and desires are overpowering on him. He didn't know what to do. Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, it's written on him that one time Rabbi Natan came to, after that Rabbeinu passed away, Rabbi Natan was going through the cities, through all of the cities that Rabbeinu had students in those cities. And he was calling them to come with him to Uman Rosh Hashanah. He established that minhag that we have today to go to Uman Rosh Hashanah every year. So in the first years, he would go from the cities and cheering everyone up to come and strengthening everyone to come to Rabbeinu, to Rosh Hashanah. So in the first year, he came to the city of Rabbi Shmuel Isaac. And he and Rabbi Shmuel Isaac were hugging, and they ממש were in a huge love between them. And Rabbi Shmuel Isaac told him, and Rabbi Natan told him, "Come, Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, jump on the wagon. We're all going to Rabbeinu, to Uman, Rosh Hashanah." So he told him, "I'm coming. I want to come, but I have to stay here another night. So Bezot Hashem, tomorrow I'm going to come." Rabbi Natan knew that Rabbi Shmuel Isaac doesn't have he's broke. He doesn't have a penny. He will not going to be able to come. So he told him, "I'm going to leave one of my students with you, with the wagon, overnight with you, and tomorrow you're going to come together." So Rabbi Shmuel Isaac accepted it, and Rabbi Natan went with the rest of the group to Uman. At that night, that student that stayed with Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, he said, first of all, that night for sure we're never going to erase from his memory. He said that Rabbi Shmuel Isaac told him that he was so poor. He and his wife, the apartment was divided to two rooms. One room was the room of Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, the other room was the room of his wife, and there was a doorway, Mizaron, post door,
passage,
foreign door between those two rooms. And she was not allowed to enter to his room, and he for sure didn't want to enter to her room, and he was in his Chadar Avodah all of the night. So, in Ma'ariv, he told that person, "I'm sorry, you're going to go to pray Ma'ariv in Shul. I'm praying here in my house. You can go to pray, and Bezrat Hashem, come back." So that student went to pray Ma'ariv. He came back after 1 hour or so, and he saw that Rabbi Shmuel Isaac is still in Kriyat Shema. So he said, "All right, I'm going to do a few, 1 hour, 2 hours in Bodedut, something, going to serve Hashem, and I'm going to come back." He's in his Dvikut. And he came back after 2-3 hours, and he saw that now he is preparing himself to stand Shmona Esre, every word, with all of his powers, with all of his heart. And he said, "All right, Bezrat Hashem, I'm going to wait a little bit more." And then when he saw that Rabbi Shmuel Isaac entered to Shmona Esre, started to pray Shmona Esre, he entered. It was freezing outside. He couldn't wait more outside. He entered, and he was lying. There was a huge stove that was heating the apartment over there, that room. and he was lying close to it and was just looking at Rabbi Shmuel Isaac, how that he was praying Shmona Esrei, and he said that to see him, to see an angel davening Shmona Esrei like that, he said it will never going to be erased from my memory. He was standing for hours, glued to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamash, canceled all of his being. So that Rabbi Shmuel Isaac came once to Rabbeinu to cry, to complain on all of lust and desires that overpower on him, and what he going to do. And he didn't have no advice anymore. He tried to learn, he tried to pray, he tried to do everything, rolling in the snow, fasting, whatever you can do. Nothing is helping. So Rabbeinu told him, you should talk to your organs. You should talk to your organs. You should tell your organs what's going to be with them in Judgment Day. So he went and he tried that for a few months. He was doing that. If he saw that his hands were, I don't know what, had a certain lust and desire to take food, his mouth, he was rebuking his organs. He was talking to himself in the Hidbodedu to tell himself, legs, where are you going? Hands, what are you doing? You know what's going to be with you in Judgment Day? Eyes, what are you looking at? You know you're going to be punished. You know the punishment of hell is very horrible. You're going to be punished on every bad eyesight. And on and on and on. After a few months, he came to Rabbeinu and told him, Rabbeinu, nothing is helping. I'm sorry. Even that wonderful advice is not helping. Nothing is changing. Rabbeinu told him, be simple. Keep on keeping that advice that I gave you. And he went and he took it in simplicity and kept on talking to his organs. After a few years, Rabbi Shmuel Isaac testified on himself that every time that there is something that even just reminds one of his organs that he can break a certain, go to a certain touch, a certain lust, certain desire, something like that, his organ is losing his ability to function. It's fainting. He said he was just fainting, losing all of his powers. His body become to be numbed. He cannot move. His hands cannot move. Someone brings food, something. This is it. Cannot touch it. Cannot. He convinced his body so much. This is what it means. To keep that advice of Yadata Yom Vashavota Elevavecha. To convince your heart, to talk to yourself. The main part of it, Bodedut, it's in Shuvav Da'at. That the man is talking to himself and talking straight to himself. What's gonna be with you, Ribono Shel Olam? What are you doing? How you let yourself do what that you're doing every morning, every noon, every evening? Every tefillah you're losing, every meal you're swallowing it, every limud haTorah you're talking and breaking it and tearing it to parts. What's gonna be with your tongue, with all of lashon hara? What's gonna be with your eyes? What's gonna be with me, Ribono Shel Olam? To talk to yourself first of all, until that you're gonna pray to Hakadosh Baruch Hu with a complete heart, Hakadosh Baruch Hu cannot even answer your prayers. Why? Because if now a man gonna pray without a heart. So actually he wasn't praying at all. Why he wasn't praying? If for an example, and I gave you that wonderful example that Rav Shalom gave once in a shiur. If now you decided not to be angry anymore in your life. You were so angry, you were furious, you were screaming on someone. And this is it, you decided that from now on, you don't want it anymore. And you're going with tears to the field, and you're crying, please, Ribono Shel Olam, I was screaming on him, and I don't want to do it anymore, I was so stupid, please take the attribute of anger from me forever. This is it. And you're talking from all of your heart. It's not a complete heart, it's just your heart. If you're talking from that heart, actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's say that He's answering to you. You will never gonna be angry in that situation again. But actually, in a different situation, that person, poor guy that you were screaming at him, he stolen 100 shekels from you. This is why you were screaming on him this time. But in that time that you were screaming not to be angry anymore, you were screaming from the bottom of your heart in that level that someone stolen 100 shekels from you. But you never prayed not to be angry if someone gonna steal 1,000 shekels from you or your apartment chas v'shalom from you. On that you were not praying. Actually, if you would stand in that test that someone gonna take 1,000 shekels from you, you're gonna be very angry because you never prayed on it.
This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you don't have a heart, cannot erase it. You're saying to yourself, now I don't want to see women anymore, I don't want to have lust for women. Alright, you're praying on it from the bottom of your heart after that you failed in something, after that you saw something, but actually, you never prayed on the situation that you're going to be very sad and your wife going to be permitted to you. On those nights, on those days, you never prayed. You never prayed because you didn't have that heart. This is why we're talking about it, that we need to do tshuva daily. Every day to do tshuva, every day to do tshuva, every day to do tshuva. And then you're increasing the odds that you're going to pray on all of the options, on all of the situations. And even if it's going to take you for years on years on years, finally you're going to achieve what that you're praying on, what that you wanted to achieve. This is why we need, first of all, like we said in the Itbodadut, to work on that yeshuva da'at, to clarify to ourselves what's allowed and what's not allowed, what is good and what is bad. First of all, because when we're just coming to do tshuva, we're just too exciting. We're like little children and we're coming, too many lights and too less vessels, broken vessels. We don't understand what we're talking. Hashem, I want to learn Torah, I want this. You don't know what it means, the word Torah. You don't know what you're talking about. Torah, it's Torah Chaim. Torah that you can live by that. Torah that's going to illuminate your house, going to make your wife happy, your children going to grow like princes, everyone going to honor you, going to respect you. This is Torah. You think that if now you're going to know all Shas, you're going to have that result? If you, let's say now you have in your software also all Shas, so what? Is it make you to be a better person? Maybe a more arrogant person? Maybe someone that thinks that he is even more, I don't know what, honorable and people need to, who knows what it's going to do to your vessels? What is going, how much, maybe it's too heavy for you to carry that weight now of all Shas in your mind. Maybe you're not stable enough for that. And you're praying, I want to finish us, I want to finish us. Buddy, you're losing. The main thing is to do tshuva, to clean yourself, to beg, Ribono Shel Olam. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, teach me. Teach me how to do tshuva. Teach me what's going to keep me here. What's going to keep me on with that will to do tshuva. Who is promising to us that we're going to want to do tshuva forever? You think that you complete the tshuva in a certain age or in a certain time? The Baal Shem Tov on his deathbed was begging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al tevo'eni regel gaava, that I won't be arrogant. The Baal Shem Tov said that. Please, that I won't be arrogant. If he, on his deathbed, that he was in the highest level of all of righteous people until that generation, he, the soul of Moshe Rabbeinu, he was begging on that. That he was not going to be arrogant, so even, we have to. Alachat kama v'kama, we have to beg and to scream and to cry to understand that we're so arrogant that it's crazy and we're not aware to our arrogance at all. We don't understand. The Chozim Milublin once he said, Katonti mikol hachasadim. What it means, katonti mikol hachasadim? He explained the verse, katonti mikol hachasadim. I become to be small means humble, mikol hachasadim, because all of the kindness. Because that I see that it's all kindness, because of that, I become to be humble. It made me humble. That observation, to see that it's all kindness of Hashem Yitbarach. A man is full with complaints. Something is not happening like that he wants. Immediately, that husk of a man, Amalek, that is saying, Kol ze eno shoveli, nothing is worthy. Why nothing is worthy? Because I wasn't praying in Minyan today. Because I wasn't completed my schedule, my Sidra Limud today. Because I didn't come to Yeshiva today. Because I don't know what, I wasn't waking up Shchatzot to Netzot. Have you said thank you on your kippah? Or that you want someone to take your kippah that you're going to understand how important it is just to have kippah? Before of tefillin, have you said thank you on your tefillin? Or that you want the HaKadosh Baruch Hu to hide your tefillin for 3 months with no tefillin, that you're going to say, no, please, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to be a good boy. Just bring me my tefillin back. Please, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to be nice, I'm going to be quiet. I'm not, no, who needs yeshiva? I don't need yeshiva, just let me put tefillin. Like those people that are coming and crying, I stop putting tefillin, I'm not doing 1 hour is bodedut anymore, I'm not guarding my eyes anymore, I'm smoking in Shabbos, and this and that. You want someone to take your Shabbos to wake you up, to understand what you do have? Before you're going to start to complain on what you haven't completed in your Avodat Hashem? I haven't finished Shas yet, I'm 10 years in Tshuva, and haven't completed Shas.
Stupid person. What's going on with you? Someone told me that there was a woman that dedicated one class that she donated $100 to do Lilu Nishmat, to do Lirfuata for her health. And through my mother, she sent it to my mother. When she came back, she lives in Miami. When she came back to Miami, she sent my mother an email with a picture of a crocodile that is standing on the entrance to her house. She said, "Look what a present, what a gift was waiting for me in the entrance to my house." People live in Miami and they see crocodiles in the houses. What's going on? People, you were supposed to be in Miami. You were supposed to be with crocodiles, dancing with crocodiles, hiding. What's going on? Not to be grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you can spend your life here, that you can learn in Yeshiva. Alright, so today it wasn't going like you wanted it to be. Who are you to want and not to want? Even if you're going to say thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu day and night, we cannot complete the thanks that HaKadosh Baruch Hu on nothing, on the smallest mitzvah of them all. Like that amazing song, if a Jew would know what it means to keep a small mitzvah, he would be happy and dancing 120 years. Ilu Yehudi haya yodea, my mitzvah ktana, haya sameach veroked 120 shana. 120 years on the smallest mitzvah, just that you have a kippah. Just that you have a kippah. You know what it means in this generation to be part of Jewish people that keeps the Torah mitzvot in this generation? It's a miracle that you will not gonna be so arrogant to fight with them and to hate them from the bottom of your heart to hate them. Mamash, in a complete, sure, stable knowledge that you have to hate them, that they're the most horrible people in the world, doing only ruin the world, destroying everything. Not to think that in this generation, it's a miracle. It's a merit. It's a merit. It's from heaven. Someone in heaven twisted something that you're gonna wake up. This world is like darkness. And in this generation, the darkness, it's like the darkness of Egypt. You can feel it in its physical darkness. Cannot see the light. And through that darkness, through that horrible darkness, people are waking up and getting stronger and doing tshuvot and itbodeduyot and going to Meron and going to graves of tzaddikim and flying to Uman. You know what's going on now in Ukraine, in Uman. My mother is calling to me, I hope you're not going to Uman. Who is thinking about it? Of course I'm going to Uman, there's no doubt about it. When? Is there a ticket? No, just don't go through Kiev. Through Kiev! Amen, I wish tonight through Kiev. Someone wants to go, a voice line. No doubt about it. Who's got time even to think about it? It's imaginations. They want to kill each other? Let them kill each other. We're going to Rabbeinu. We're not going to kill each other. We're going to Uman. We're going to the Rebbe. We know that for sure. For us it's clarified. How it become to be so clarified? Few years ago, the things that were clarified for you was that you have to achieve all of the money in the world, all of the power in the world, all of I don't know what. This was clarified for you, and then Hashem came and revealed Himself to you, and you were not deserve that, you were not worthy, you were not fit, you were nothing. And you're the same one, nothing changed. Just the Chachmanut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the mercy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being revealed more and more and more. And He's sending righteous people to your house to knock on your door and to force you to buy Garden of Emunah, Garden of Peace. And you were fighting and arguing, no, I heard on that rabbi.
students here told me that they received a CD and they didn't even plan to hear that CD. And finally, after another lifetime, they heard that CD. Something happened. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chasing after us to bring us to the tshuva, sending His righteous people to the most lowest and contaminated places to illuminate our hearts, and gives us the weapon and the advice how to conquer the Yetzer Hara in an easy way, a very easy, sweet way. You need to be with Hashem in Barach 1 hour every day, just to talk, just to share. Everyone needs that. Everyone needs to talk. Everyone needs to share. Everyone. And there is no one to talk to. Even someone that really loves you, even someone that really cares about you, he cannot. He cannot listen to you. He's too occupied. He also going through what that he's going through in his life. You cannot expect him to stand there for you. Adrabah, you need to want to stand there for him. That he's going to be able to talk to you. That he's going to be able to share with you. That you're going to be able to hug him and to accept him and to love him. If you want someone to see it and listen to you, so you're a female, so you like in a kebab. You want to be a man, you want to complete your job in this world, you need to stand up and to be there for other people. But like Rav Boyde told us once, I'm going in my tours and teaching so many classes, day and night, flying in the air. He said, I have to recharge myself 1 hour a day. I have to. If really you want to have powers, so you have to recharge yourself. You have to. Minimum 1 hour. You have to eat a little bit. You have to sleep a little bit. You have to learn a little bit. And you have to do your itbodedut. If not, you're going to get crazy. There is no doubt about it. You're going to lose your yishuv hadat. You're going to be crazy. Rabbeinu said, no one can be a kosher person if he doesn't have 1 hour itbodedut. And it was also to Admorim, also to Rabbanim, judges of Beit Din, to everyone. Migadon ad Katan, Rabbeinu said. The smallest one and the biggest one. All of them have to talk to Hashem. You cannot be kosher without mitzvah tshuvah, without mitzvah tefillah. You cannot. And Rabbeinu said that 1 hour is complete. It's 60 minutes on the watch, on the clock. 60 minutes, and not less, not 59. 60 minutes, round, 1 hour. And there are a lot of secrets on that 1 hour. Why it's 1 hour? Why it's 60 minutes? A lot of secrets on that. But the main secret is to be simple. To look, to check. Is there someone that gave me more than that righteous man, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, in my lifetime? Someone saved my shalom bayit more than Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Someone saved my soul from lust and desires more. Someone gave me more joy, more happiness, more hope in my life. Someone opened more doors for me in my life than that righteous man. If yes, come on, take us to him also. We want to go. Like Rav Shalom is saying, if you found something better than that yeshiva, why are you not telling us? We want to come also. We're not arrogant to say this is the best place. This is the best place we found. You have something better? Tell us! We want to hear. Maybe we're all gonna go. You saw Mashiach? So call us. We want to come with you to see Mashiach also. Why? Your Rav? You're not taking your Rav with you? Why not taking your Rav with you? It's your Rav. Take him with you to see Mashiach. You found something so special. Let's go all of us together. If you found something, tell us. If you haven't, so stop talking nonsense. Stop being arrogant. Or that you're going to stand up like a man and going to confess to say, I don't have the power, I don't want that anymore. Looking for my lust and for my desires to satisfy my body. I want to go back to gym, I want to be in shape, I want to eat well, I want to sleep well, to permit myself all lust and desires. I like movies, I don't know what, theater, I don't know what is what I like. I'm sorry. It's a point of truth. If you're going to say that, you have the way to come back if you made mistake. But if you're making up stories, no, I have another way in Avodat Hashem. I want to do this, I want to do that. It's all imagination. If you stop doing tshuva, and you stop doing tshuva, because you cannot do tshuva if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give you the merit to do tshuva. Because I told you on that righteous man that was tefillah, his tefillah was perfect. He was one of the students of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and he heard rumors on Rabbeinu, on Rabbi Nachman, that he was great, that he was amazing, and he said, I'm going to go. Even though that he had doubts, what else can I learn on Tfilah? He was praying with all of his powers, in a perfect intention. He knew all of the Kavanot, all of the Ichudim. He was amazing in Tfilah. He said, what can I learn more? But let's try. He wanted to learn. And he went into the Beit Midrash of Rabbeinu, and he stood close to Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he was praying close to Rabbeinu, and when Rabbeinu said, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, to start Shmona Esrei, that person couldn't open his mouth. He started to shake from fear. And he wasn't praying, and Rabbeinu completed his Tfilat Shmona Esrei, and that person said and started to cry, and to do tshuva. And he said, I never knew nothing about Tfilat. Everything that I thought that I know, it was nothing. And we cannot understand what you saw. What was there? We don't know. We don't know, and we cannot understand. But you know, one person told me that one night he saw Rav Shalom enter to his shul, to the Beit Knesset that he was praying in that shul. And when Rav Shalom entered to that shul to pray, he said, I don't know where. And now that I'm telling you that, I remember another story. I'm going to tell you that now. He said, I don't know what happened. I just saw Rav Shalom over there, and it was starting Shmona Esrei, and I prayed Shmona Esrei. He said it was the highest Shmona Esrei that I ever prayed in my life. One of the Avrichim from this class told me that one time was praying Netz in the Yeshiva in the morning, and in that day, Rav Shalom suddenly appeared and came to pray Shmona Esrei. He said, I looked at Rav when we started Shmona Esrei, and suddenly I thought to myself, first time in my life, maybe today I'm going to do 1 hour Shmona Esrei. Maybe today I'm going to pray 1 hour Shmona Esrei. I'm going to take it slowly, slowly, all of the blessings, all of the brachot, everyone at a time. I'm going to intend to put all of my heart in the words, in all of my powers. Maybe today, because he saw Rav Shalom davening Shmona Esrei, and he done that. And he said that after that he made it, after that he said it was the most beautiful Shmona Esrei I ever prayed in my life. And he asked me, please, can you tell Rav Shalom, thank you. This is by the power of Rabbeinu HaKadosh, like that Rabbeinu said. You cannot do tshuva. Just I'm doing tshuva for you. So if you believe to Rabbeinu, be simple. Don't be wise guy. Be simple. Accept those words. Rabbeinu gonna do tshuva for you. But if you're wiser than him, if you assume that you're wiser than him, so good luck. Maybe you're gonna be a superstar. One day we're gonna see you on the television or something. Who knows? Maybe you're going to make it. Maybe you're going to make it in life. There is one Avrech, a Bachur, a guy not married, in the Yeshiva of the Bachurim. How he came to the Yeshiva of the Bachurim? He went to Meron to do it Bodedut over there. And he was crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, Ribbono Shel Olam, I want to do Tshuva. I don't know what to do. Should I go to Yeshiva? Should I go this? Should I go there? I don't know what to do with myself. And he was begging and asking, please, from Hashem Yitbarach, to open his eyes, to know what he should do. After he finished his Itbodedut, he's looking and he saw our flyer of Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed for the English program. He looked at that, he saw the face of Rav Shalom, and he said, this is the answer. And he came for a few weeks, he's sitting and learning in Yeshivat Chut Shel Chesed because of one flyer that we gave. Those wonderful flyers, he saw them. Hashem was answering to his tefillah through that flyer. In Meron, who was in Meron, who gave that flyer? Someone was there, someone put that flyer. It fly to Meron. That flyer. Thank you, Rabbi Isai. Chazak uBaruch. Shalom.